Turn with me, please, to Micah, the fourth chapter. Micah 4, and I'd like to read the first eight verses. As you can see on the board, our title is a bit long this morning. It is The Witness of Israel and the Glory to Come. And certainly in these verses here, these first eight verses of Micah 4, we have a vision of the glory that will incorporate the nation of Israel and the kingdom of God. And this will not, as we know, only involve Israel, but will involve the whole earth and those who are redeemed out of mankind, both Jew and Gentile. Starting at verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make him afraid, them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Let's go to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. We'll be coming back to this section in Micah a little bit later on in our remarks, but let's go to Isaiah 43. And we want to begin to look at this concept of Israel as a witness in the earth. Picking up at verse 10 and reading through verse 12. Ye are my witnesses, speaking to Israel here, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. In the Old Testament, the word witness is derived from the Hebrew root word ed, E-D, meaning to repeat or to reassert. Similar to our usage today, the Old Testament word or its compounds are used primarily in two ways. First, witness means evidence or proof. Evidence or proof. For example, severe damage witnessed to the destructive force of the storm. The second use of witness means the person who testifies. For example, the witness to the robbery took the stand. It's the first use that we want to concentrate on and that we see in relation to the nation of Israel. Evidence or proof. Israel as a nation in the earth is the witness appointed by God, testifying to humanity, providing proof or evidence that he That is, Yahweh has a purpose with the earth, and that it will soon be consummated in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to set up on earth the kingdom of God. One of the greatest signs indicating the imminence of Christ's return is the sign of the modern revival of Israel. And some of us were alive at that time, some of us weren't. But it was a monumental time frame to see that partial restoration of Israel. The Jews have been taken throughout history into captivity from their homeland, driven from nation to nation, and subjected to bitter persecution for centuries. And yet, we know they have survived and even thrived as a nation. And this is all revealed in the pages of Scripture. When the nation came into existence, it was not because of the support of her neighbors, but in the face of extreme hostility and under constant threat of war and political annihilation, which we know hasn't changed today. The Bible teaches, "Thou, God, shall arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the time is come, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." Psalm 102, verses 13 and 16. Jerusalem, we know, will soon be changed. And it behooves all who are interested in the future of their families and their personal salvation to take heed to this fact. This building up of Zion, which we have witnessed as they are God's witness in the earth. And we should be preparing for the coming of Christ and the monumental changes that will take place in the earth. God has set his seal upon Israel. They will not be utterly destroyed. He has indeed constituted them his witness, and he calls upon nations everywhere to heed it. Reading again from Isaiah 43, verses 9 and 12, "Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." This context calls upon all nations to witness the sign God has placed in the earth as establishing the validity of the Bible, the prophecies that are revealed there, as well as his plan to establish his rule upon the earth. The extraordinary factors in relation to the revival of Israel illustrate and emphasize that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he wills. This will culminate in God's grand purpose as clearly expressed in the familiar words of Daniel 2:44. "The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, but it shall break in pieces and destroy all kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." One dominion, one religion, and one rule under Christ. This is the purpose for humanity as set forth in the Scriptures. Israel, God's witness in the earth, testifies that the time of its accomplishment is certainly at hand. The Apostle Paul wrote in Acts, the 3rd chapter, if you'd turn there with me, please. Acts 3. And let's pick up at verse 19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Restitution, we know, means restoration. And in the amazing marvel of Israel, the witness God has placed before all mankind, we have a token fulfillment of prophecy, infallibly proclaiming that the time is indeed at hand. Note the words of Scripture proclaiming the survival of Israel in spite of their great persecution and their wickedness. And we know Israel has been far from a model servant to Yahweh through the years. Look at Deuteronomy 38 with me, please. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, and let's pick up at verse 65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. It's interesting that we know this is exactly what God has brought upon Israel throughout their history because of their disobedience. And yet, once again, they have not been utterly destroyed because of the promises made to the patriarchs and with God and for God's purpose. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Jeremiah 30. We want to pick up at verse 10. And these words were spoken to the nation on the eve of their captivity by Babylon. Jeremiah 30, 10 and 11. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Let's turn over to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. All of these verses, of course, speak of God's work with Israel. Ezekiel 36, and let's read 22 and then jump to 24. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. The preservation and the revival of Israel, again, constitutes God's witness in the earth. Let's go back to Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, picking up at verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. In 1947, as we know, by a vote of the United Nations Organization, the Jewish state came into existence. The nations gathered, as we read and as we read earlier in Isaiah 43:9, to view the witness that God had established in the earth. Bible prophecy was being fulfilled. Let's go to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, verses 21 and 22. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. These verses here in Ezekiel 37 indicate three steps in the divine purpose. One, the regathering of the people. Two, the revival of the nation. And three, the restoration of the monarchy. The first two of these have been partially fulfilled, and we await the third, the restoration of the monarchy. Christ will be that king. Let's go to Jeremiah 3 and verse 17. Jeremiah 3:17. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. And let's go over to the familiar passage of Luke, the first chapter, where that king, the name of that king, is highlighted. Luke 1, and let's read verses 32 and 33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over his house, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And we know this is speaking specifically of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Isaiah, please, the second chapter. Isaiah 2, and let's read verses 2 through 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Very much what we read in Micah 4. These things will shortly come to pass. We know that the kingdom will extend beyond the nation of Israel, and it will incorporate all nations, as we read in Zechariah 8 and also Isaiah 61. Nothing should deter us from a participation in this wonderful event, but we must be faithful. Here we have a wonderful message of hope for a divided and antagonistic world. While it will first be purged of its wickedness through the judgments of Armageddon, in time there will be a united world at peace with itself and at peace with God. very hard to believe as we look about at world conditions today. But God has promised. We've read from just a few places in Scripture, and we know there are a multitude of other references that highlight the same fact. So with this backdrop of Israel as the witness of Yahweh, let us use our remaining time to explore the glory that is to be manifested in Israel and the world in the age to come. We read earlier from Micah 4, and let's turn there again, please. Micah 4. And we're going to go through each of these verses, these first eight verses, because here we have portrayed, you know, that vision of glory that will incorporate Israel. And we know the redeemed, both Jew and Gentile, as well as ultimately the entire earth. We read there in verse 1, "In the last days it shall come to pass." This is pointing to the time, even now, when Zion shall be considered for good. The grand vision opens here before the house of Jacob, a vision of the glorious future by which the remnant will be consoled. This was Micah's message. But what were the children of Israel doing? They were still preoccupied with, you know, what fields they could acquire for themselves. They were focused on the fulfillment of the things of the flesh and not God. But that will change. "The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills." This mountain which Christ's right hand hath purchased, as we read in Psalm 78, verse 54, is that which shall be lifted up and exalted above the hills. We just read from Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4, very similar wording that we see here in Micah. It is a high mountain that shall never be destroyed. Let's go to Joel, the third chapter. Joel 3, and verses 17 and 18. "Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, 'Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people.'" And we have seen these actions by Yahweh throughout history, and we will see it come to fruition in the not too distant future. Let's go to Zechariah, the 8th chapter. Zechariah 8. In verse 3, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And people shall flow unto it." We read, continuing here again, going back to Malachi 1. "And people shall flow unto it. Those out of all nations shall flow to the seed of Abraham, in whom all the families of the earth will be blessed." So we see the fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham and the other patriarchs, beginning first in Genesis 12:3. Going back to Malachi 4, we read in the second verse, "And many nations shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the house of the Lord.'" So there will be international repentance, and collective obedience will be the order of the day. "And he will teach us of his ways. Man will turn from the pursuit of sin and turn to God, whose way is perfect." Turn with me, please, to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, starting at verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God, save the Lord? Or who is a rock, save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Man shall wait on the Lord and shall keep his way, as recorded in Psalm 37, verse 34. We will walk in his paths, which we know are the paths of righteousness, as pointed out in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Men will respond and appeal to Yahweh. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We know that Jerusalem will become the universal center of law and order. The wickedness of the prophet Micah's day and throughout the history of man will give place to the spirit of understanding and wisdom, and all nations will accept the rule of Christ. Let's go to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Isaiah 11 and verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We know that is our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Turn, please, to Psalm 72. And we know this is a beautiful psalm relating to Christ's rule upon the earth. And if you'll look at verses 10 and 11 with me. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. All right, let's go back to Malachi 4 and verse 3. And we read there, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Christ will judge with righteousness, but judgment will be accompanied by rebuke for those who need it. We read on, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. The Prince of Peace shall speak peace unto the nations, and the work of righteousness shall be peace and quietness and assurance forever. And he will make them to lie down safely. Let's go to Hosea, the second chapter, please. Hosea 2. In verse 18, Hosea 2:18. And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. And let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and let's begin at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And then in verse 4 of Malachi 4, we read, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make him afraid. This is another confirmation of the consistent theme that we see throughout the Word, indicating a return to an agricultural economy and a freedom from oppression and exploitation. How do we know this is true? We're told in that verse, because the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Consider, for example, Isaiah 65. Verses 21 to 23. Isaiah 65, verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Quite a contrast to what the nation of Israel has enjoyed or experienced in times past. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. We read in verse 5 of Micah 4, for all the people will walk everyone in the name of his God. This is an interesting phrase because we know in the kingdom age, there will only be one God, one Lord. But Micah actually is drawing a contrast here between the ungodliness of his day and the kingdom age. Because unlike following one's own God, which even characterizes our world today, all will follow one Lord, one God. And he will walk, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Micah is here encouraging the faithful of his day to remain steadfast in the midst of a perverse generation, staying focused on the glorious vision of Zion is what he is emphasizing to the nation at this point in time. And in verse 6 of Micah 4, we read, in that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth. Micah witnessed all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd, halt and lame spiritually. We will remember that Jacob was touched on the thigh by the angel, but the children of Jacob here were not, their halting was not the result of contact with an angel, but rather because of the false prophets and the priests who duped them. The verse goes on to say, and I will gather her that is driven out, her that I have afflicted. The flock of Jacob, driven out of the land, would be gathered together. No longer will they halt spiritually and be spiritually lame. Their affliction by Yahweh was designed to turn them back to him. We read in verse 8 of Micah 4, and we're going to look at it in a little more detail here. Micah 6, verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Not unlike Romans 12, which is our reasonable service. He was telling Israel the same thing at this point in time. In verse 7 of Micah 4, we read, and I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. There has always been a faithful remnant. If you'll notice in Isaiah, the 10th chapter, and we clearly understand that God will not allow his word to return unto him void. So there has always been a remnant. We remember the words of Elijah, who thought he was the only one that had not turned from God. And we know the Lord's response. There are yet 7,000 Elijah, that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So we read here in Isaiah 10, starting at verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of all the land. The Lord shall reign over them, where? In Mount Zion, from henceforth, even forever. And going back to Micah, the fourth chapter, the last verse that we want to consider, that wraps up this vision of glory for the nation of Israel and for those who are associated therewith. And we read in verse 8, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, and though Zion shall be plowed as a field," as we read in Micah 3:12, "it shall yet become a stronghold." The titles Tower of the Flock and Stronghold of Zion are descriptive of Christ. They are descriptive of Christ as the protector and the defender of the flock. "Unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom will come to the daughter of Jerusalem." And while incorporating the restored nation of Israel, the kingdom will come to the glorified bride, the daughter all glorious within, the wife who hath made herself ready. For she shall reign on the earth with Christ and her God. May we enjoy the blessing of participation as eternal servants of Yahweh in the kingdom that shall soon come. And again we say, let nothing deter us from that objective. Time now for us to begin our memorial service. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, including the commandments of Christ and the doctrines to be rejected. Our memorial hymn is hymn 104. "Sing praise, the tomb is void, where the Redeemer lay." Hymn 104.